A very good Friday, race fans, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebeck.com. And here we are, first of the big fairgrounds weekends. And as seemingly fairly typical, got some weather to deal with. It's all right. We had weather in New York to deal with yesterday, and that didn't work out badly. Could have worked out a lot better. I don't want to beat up on Jose Gomez. I really don't. You know me, I'm not big on that kind of thing. But I will say this. I mean, we were live for, you know, $900 in that pick five yesterday at Aqueduct, and every horse is rallying on the crown of the track. The three path, four path, five path. Well, you not see this? And he's got Rafua. I mean, I singled Rafua in the pick five. Had the backup, but I had a couple of bees, so the backup ticket was dead. So I needed Rafua to win. We all did that played, and I mean, had tons of horse, and it goes, stays inside. I don't get it. I mean, all he had to do was go, come around Callaloo and get him on the outside and on the, with better footing. And instead, he's down in the quagmire, in the muck. Speaking of which, was it yesterday? I think it was yesterday. Mucky was the Wordle word, right? I think it was. Yeah, it was very strange, actually. That's very funny. It just popped in my head. Anyway, considering how straightforward the results were in that sequence, you did have two $12 horses starting with Double Shot. But the pick four paid very well, actually, $270. That was all right. But I thought I was in nice shape, and I was watching Rafua the whole time. Anyway, all right, that happens. But it was fun. It was fun yesterday. I got off the air, and I couldn't. You know, it's funny. In some ways, I'm going to talk about this with Nick Tamaro later. I didn't really have time with the considerable scratches, especially in that fifth race. I didn't have time to adequately put together the early pick four, the early pick five. And it turned out okay because it was next to nothing. $87 pick five and a $31 pick four. So I was actually very pleased that, that I was late, not late because the handicapping was done, but, that I didn't put a pick, the early picks up. It wasn't worth it. I mean, unless you drill down and, but actually, even then, I mean, I would have used at least two with that know-it-all Audrey. Even though she went off at one to two, I would have used more. Norgay was a single. Norgay was a horse that when I was sort of putting it together early. But I thought that the maiden claiming fourth was a little tricky. And Winning Connection busted it open. And Patty Reynolds. Good job, Patty. In fact, we're going to call Patty maybe next week because some people, when I mentioned Peeping Tom the other day, some people loved that, and I made a mental note to get Pat on, and he could talk about it. Kairos was the best score, I thought, of the day. That was pretty good. 12-20 on Kairos, who came rallying down the middle of the track. Good job, Romero Mara, his first win at the meet. You know, he's coming back from injury, and good for Romero. Happy for that. I didn't check the fig. Those two Chad Brown runners making their seasonal debut, and Dr. Ardito. I preferred Dr. Ardito to Nabokov. Nabokov ran great, though. And Dr. Ardito, Manny Franco, is the story so far of the winter. Anyway, that was yesterday. Kind of fun, and been a good few days of handicapping. Wednesday Turfway, Thursday New York, and now we roll right. I didn't look at anything today because the card at the card at, I completely, what did I just do here? The card at Fairgrounds, it's like two cards by the time you're done. We're going to get started early because it's the Harrow break. They just went to take the Harrow break at NOLA. So Frank McGoey is going to join us. I'm going to call Frank momentarily as soon as I give you the basic rundown of what's going on today. Frank McGoey starts us off, and we'll go to Anne Arundel County. We'll go to Maryland, and Callie will join us. Callie Francois, that's Miss Francois to you, on Twitter. Callie will join us. Nice stake sequence, and there's one of those stakes at Laurel. If you haven't looked yet, the Fireplug may be the best race of the day anywhere tomorrow. I know that's probably a little bit of a reach, but a really, really good race. It's a 10-horse field. Hope it stays together. And it features the likes of Barron for Butchie Reed, but does not have to win. 2-1. Factor it in. 5-2. But Five Dreams and Always in a Hurry. 8-1 and 6-1. Even Yodel Ehu, Jamie Ness, 10-1. Pirate Rick, Norm Cash. And the Year of the Tiger. Anyway, so very good addition to the Fireplug. There's also the Geisha and the Jennings, the Extra Heat, the Spectacular Bid, and the What a Summer. What a Summer looks like actually, the Spectacular Bid looked like a two-horse race, Prince of Jericho and Coffee with Chris, etc. So, Callie in, top of hour two, Marcus Hirsch, as promised and threatened. Marcus will join us, and we'll get his first look at the 23 stakes season at Fairgrounds. Hammer and part of Hammer's visit. I mean, we're going to look at, I think, at the cross, not the cross country, but the coast to coast. I've got all those races printed out, and there's a couple of very interesting maiden races at Gulfstream tomorrow, turf routes, and some notable pedigrees. But certainly going to let Hammer riff on the passing of David Crosby. And I personally not a mammoth individual Crosby fan, but CSN and CSN and Y, that the CSN Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young, or without Young, I mean that CSN album in particular. I remember that being an early for me in the 70, must have been high school, and then taking it to college. I'm sure we'll get a couple of cuts in. So, yeah, and I guarantee you, because of their association, because of Crosby's association with so many great jam bands, and you know, the Byrds and McGuinn, Clark and Hillman, and then, of course, with the Dead, too, they crossed over with the Dead. So I knew Hammer. I said, you must have seen David Crosby countless times. So Hammer will pay tribute. Scully as well in hour two. Nick Tamaro, catch up on the Sam Houston action. See if he's got any ideas about Aqueduct, kind of a quiet weekend. And I do want to talk, I want to go back to the budget discussion with him. Schaap will join us late. Right now he's on the backstretch at Fairgrounds. Cutting some video and some interviews, and we'll check in with Papo. I'm sure he looked at a lot of Fairgrounds, but who knows? He may have caught onto something else. There is a lot of good action, no matter what your preferred venue might be, and that includes Oaklawn, where I, at the last minute, ended up printing out the late pick five. The American Beauty, there's the 20 non-winners of three lifetime with 11. There's a maiden special with a lot of firsters, a lot of pedigree work. Then $100,000, one of those $100,000 conditionals allowances that's got Caddo River, among others. And then another division, not another division, but a division, a counterpart three-year-old filly sprint. Going as the nightcap, the 10th. So nice sequence at Oaklawn tomorrow. Turfway as well Saturday night. It surprised me, too. I went to print the Leonidas, and that's where Itzos is running, by the way. Not moving off to Oaklawn assignment, but Paolo Lobo running at Turfway. So it feels like that's the route he's going to take with Itzos toward probably the Battaglia and the Jeff Ruby, etc. Okay, so that was some news. But we'll see if somebody looked at the Leonidas, which is okay, and maiden races, allowances, big full fields, like we've been talking about Turfway. All right, so we're off and running, and let me get us going with Magui. And I'm very anxious. I don't care who comes up with the best ideas, the winners for the weekend at Fairgrounds. Doesn't matter. Between the maiden races with the lot of opportunity, and there is no better place to start than with our man, Magui. Frank, good morning.
Dr. Bick, how are you?
Outstanding and excited, even though we're looking at weather. What's the latest? I didn't check this morning.
Yeah, we might have a shot here. I got a weather guy. I'm friends with the GM of TPC Golf Course, who's got some high-tech weather stuff, and I reached out to him yesterday, and he thinks most of it's coming pretty late tomorrow evening. So we could be okay.
Outstanding.
Fingers crossed.
Well, because looking at the hourly, it started out early in the morning at 50%, and then it, you know, 3, 4, 5 o'clock, it got up to 70% and 80%. So I said, if this thing slows itself down a few hours, we might dodge bullets. All right, good.
Unfortunately, the trainers didn't get that memo because they all work like it's going to rain tomorrow morning. We just got smashed up there.
I love it. Well, here's what we're going to do. I want to kind of work backwards, get the stakes covered first, and then maybe we'll cherry pick these maiden races because, I mean, it's
yeah, it's maiden heavy, no doubt about it.
It really is. And frankly, Frank, it bodes well for down the road in the meet to have these nice, nice size maiden fields, basically 9 horses, 10 horses for all of these maiden races. So you're going to graduate 7 horses and still have, another 70 or so to come back and run.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the big days will be full of these good maiden races, and then hopefully some allowance races fill and we go forward. So it should be good.
Let's dive
no doubt about it.
Right into the LeCompte, and have not heard what Cox's final decision is with that Tappet's Conquest, but it certainly feels like he does fit in the LeCompte, and there's actually something imposing in that allowance. So I've got a feeling they're going to run in the LeCompte, but I'll try to get a word.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing, too. Yeah. I'm hearing that as well. And I'm hearing that the 6-horse, Itzos,
right, he's out.
Is coming out. Yep. Yeah,
he's running at Turfway.
Right. I don't have a huge opinion in this race, but I'm going to lean and probably take a little bit of a stand with Tappet's Conquest.
Wow.
Over Instant Coffee. Yeah. He's, I can't separate them that much in the mornings, and I think I'll be a little better price. Tappet's Conquest has been working well and with some pretty good company. I'm sure everybody's aware that Victory Formation and Verifying both went over to Oaklawn and put on performances, and that's who he's been holding hands with in the morning.
Interesting.
And he's been step for step with them. So, there's definitely a lot there, and there's a lot of upside, and I thought he'd be a little bit of a better price, so I was looking at him as probably my lean with the other Cox, Instant Coffee. At the risk of being embarrassed, I'm going to stay away from Echo again, thinking that something in the back of my mind tells me he doesn't want to go this far, and I'll throw Confidence Game in as my third choice, who's been training well and was highly thought of at Churchill, and his last race he put it together, and I think he'll get a good trip in here, and hopefully maybe he can round out an exacta.
Interesting. There's a couple of notable performances and I was waiting. I was eager looking for the morning line. There's a couple of notable And price wise, I mean, Dennington 8-1, two fills was made 4-1, and Ravelli scares me wherever he turns up.
Yeah, he looks good. He came in. They shipped in last week. They've been in Moody Russell's barn. Him and his the other horse he has on the undercard. Both look good. Both had to work over the track. And you know, he definitely has a chance in here. And got one of the hottest jocks on the grounds too, in Loveberry, who's familiar with him. Can't knock him a bit, but I thought the other ones maybe had a little bit more upside.
I'll tell you what I like about two fills. First of all, what I was referring to was Dennington has won in the slop, as has two fills. Two fills has something notable at this time of year. He's a horse that's won three times. How many three-time winners are kicking around in January these days?
Yeah, you're right.
I like that. And then the win in the Shakopee Juvenile, when he basically took over and ran off. And then you look what he did in that street sense where he rated kindly and, you know, drew off when roused. Ravelli's a problem.
No, I'm sure he means business bringing these two in here. They both look really good on the track. He seems to be doing well, and he should give a very good account of himself.
Well, and you're mentioning when you say the other Ravelli, that comes in the maiden race in the 10th.
That's
right. Where
Epicenter's, Epicenter's half.
Right. Onasa.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Yeah.
We'll get to that.
He worked very well here the same day as two fills.
Let's rather than the Louisiana, I'll come back to that in a second. Let's do the counterpoint race, the Silver Bullet Day for the fillies. And here again, this is a really well-matched bunch. Chop Chop, who I mean, disappointed isn't even an appropriate moniker for her juvenile filly, where, you know, she became the Mojo horse and absolutely was awful. And so she's trying to kind of regroup. The horse that's intriguing is the one we talked about with Jason Barkley, Forest Chimes, the first out romper down there.
And had been working good, but had not tipped off that she was sitting on that kind of an effort. Impressed everybody that day. I mean, you know, got a decent enough inside-out trip, but really just kicked away from strong and has come back since and has worked very similar to how he was working before the first, she was working before the first race. You know, I don't have it wouldn't shock me if Forest Chimes won. It wouldn't shock me if Amber Cascade won off that big effort, who got a really good trip as well that day. But it wouldn't shock me if either of the Coxes won too. You know, I'm not taking a stand here. Those are the four, obviously. I mean, I'm not telling anybody anything they don't really know, but Chop Chop and the Alley's Look have both been working together. And, you know, I got to think that Florent probably had his choice and took Chop Chop. So I guess maybe you can give an edge there, but they both look very similar in the mornings. But like I said, you know, the two races for the two maiden breakers, they were both impressive, and neither would shock me.
I got to ask you about one of the best stories of the meet, and that's Patricia West. We talked to her.
Yeah,
what
great.
A story. She's 7 for 18. Here's Tom Galvin's homebred, the Fast Anna. Nora G, down inside, is going to save all the ground, should stretch out, has sprint, you know, tactical sprint speed, is a neck from being perfect. She's a lobbred that might have something extra. And Deshaun Parker.
Yeah, definitely has a look of a horse that'll stretch out. This may be a little bit much to ask. Her fourth start since November 18th, and this is much tougher than she's been facing. But I would think that this experience will serve her well, and when she gets back in with Labrad, she'd be very tough, double tough.
I respect what she's done with this one, and I'll be hard pressed.
Good looking gray. She stands out in the mornings.
Well, I'll probably work her in.
You. It sounds like she's not beating you.
No, she's not.
She'll have to beat me. But I got no bones with her. I made my peace with her the first day she ran at 9-1.
Well, we talked. It just so happens we talked to both Cherie and to Jason earlier in the week, and so because of the early draw, we had the opportunity to discuss Amber Cascade and Forest Chime. Cherie was waiting to make a decision based on that workout the other morning, and then when the figs come out, every reason to believe that you know, not just believe, but she's obviously a fit. And
I didn't see that work. So I normally help them out on race days. And I think I remember seeing on the tab that Cherie kind of worked the whole barn that Monday or Tuesday that week. Yeah, she had a whole bunch that day.
Let's
but
talk.
Had to be doing good if she went ahead and, you know, stayed in the race.
Well, let's look at the Louisiana. A lot of familiar names in here. The mile and a 16th. This will go as the 13th between the 2 3-year-old features.
Right. And you know, the race, I think a lot's going to depend upon the weather here. If the track is a fair track, Happy American's given every indication that he's going to run the same race he ran last time. Very forward in his training. And as a matter of fact, in the Tenacious, I mean, I don't think he's ever been winding up at the 5/8 pole like he was in that race. He was probably closer in that race early on than he's been in a while. And, I mean, he just ran away from those horses at the 8th pole. I don't see why he's not going to turn in that kind of effort. I'm not sure what to do. I was expecting a little bit more out of Fiorza D'Oro last time, but has come back out of that race and worked really good, probably even better than he worked before the Tenacious. So I have a question mark on him. And Zozo's, to me, definitely, I thought he needed his last start. He would win just based on how much talent he had compared to the field he was facing. But he's definitely going to take a step forward off that last race. I think those are really the three. And, you know, the rest of them will kind of have to settle on some of the smaller stuff in here, but they're all doing good. I'm taking a stand against Run Classic. I just decided that he wants one turn races, and he will be on a lead with Brian, which is dangerous, but I'm hoping I can run past him late.
Well, and because there really doesn't appear to be all that much speed in here.
No, he should definitely make the lead, and he probably would make it fairly comfortable. But the time that Run Classic ran that monster race at Churchill, I'm pretty confident Happy American needed that start. And Happy American, even though he got a good setup that day, definitely moved forward off of that the last time, and I think he'll move forward again.
Well, this is a classic Neil Pessin, bringing him along, incremental improvement,
very methodical,
outstanding. And we were on Ron Flatter's podcast. He did a food podcast, and Ron said, who else should I have on? And I said, who else should you have on? You got to have the king of all fressers, Neil Pessin. How can you have a food show at the racetrack and not have Neil Pessin?
I think he eats out breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day while he's down here. Yeah, well, he doesn't miss much.
Well, as I explained, I said he plans meals the way the Allies plan D-Day.
Right. He hates it when he's got a horse in the last race.
Well, you know, by the way, he mentioned, and he got me thinking the other day when we taped the thing, because he had been to Mosca's the night before, and I said to myself, ooh, I gotta get out in front. I gotta get on the lead with you and the boys. Are we going back to Mosca's?
Oh, no, we'll pick a new spot. We gotta show you something different. We'll find something.
Oh, there's room for
you'll be in town for Risen Star?
I'll be in town for Risen Star. Then I come back for the HBPA convention, and then, you know, a good invite will get me there. I'm easy to motivate, Frank.
Right, I'll get fatter dragging you around town. That's good. Yeah.
I also, you know, I told everybody about last year ended up being the year of the burger, and I came up with a burger superfecta, which included that night I ran into Pat
at College Inn
yeah. That night. The burger was unbelievable that night. All right. How about
you don't miss much?
No, it's true. Can't get a pork chop past me. Let's talk about the turf sprint, and I don't know how much time we need to spend on this, given, you know.
I'm going to take a pretty simple approach. Well, this turf course obviously is a mystery, has been for years. You know that. It's always something with it.
Yeah.
I'm just going on the pace and just in case. But, you know, you haven't been able to win on the lead here on this turf course the last couple of weeks. It doesn't matter how slow you're going, but I'm just not going to let it happen. I'm not going to take a big stand in any of the turf races. I want somebody that's going to be forwardly placed, and I want the latecomers. So I'll put my friend Lon Wiggins on top.
Wow.
Angston. Yeah. And just hoping that he's the speed of the speed. And then Al and Catalano as the two deep closers, Evan Singh and Maniwa. Maniwa came by this morning, looked really good.
Boy, how old is he now?
He is 7.
How about that? How about that?
Yeah.
And Annixton is 8.
Right. Yeah. Yep. No. Yep. Bunch of this is the old man classic here.
Well, any reason to call Lon Wiggins, I'm for it. That would be fabulous.
He and I go back a long way. He's a good guy.
Well, and by one of the great men of racing history and his dad. How about the Bradley? Let's go long on the grass in the 8.
Okay, let's go back here. Oh, this is another one. I'm going on to pace in just in case. So obviously, 2ME's, you know, is prepping towards the final race. Forget the name of it. Anyway, doing good. It's going to be forwardly placed in here. I think Lovell's horse, English Tavern. Deshaun's going to ride him the right way. Thought he ran a good race against, speaking of Barkley, Spooky Channel the other day and stayed on. Well, both Coxes have trained well, Price Talk, and Ready to Perform.
Hmm.
They'll probably both be a little bit overbet, but the two that I'm putting in the top spot are going to be 2ME's and English Tavern, just the same philosophy as on the pace and just in case.
So 3-4 with a little bit of 2-5.
Yeah. Shaden Cox a little bit, trying to get a little bit. I thought they'd both be maybe a little bit overbet.
Well, it is time for Michelle to have a new breakout star, and
she's had a great meet so far. Good.
This is kind of cool, actually. This is the horse that Jerry Roman sends her horses, but Hammy Smith has had English Tavern for his whole career. And it's nice that they sent English Tavern to Michelle to handle for the winter. Kind of cool.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he was facing, he's got races against Set Piece that were good back in at Pimlico. And, you know, he fits with these.
All right, let's quickly hit the Krantz. And this is the filly and mare version going a mile and a 1/16.
And I'm on the pace, and just in case, in there, Lake Lucerne's going to be the late closer. And Charlie's Penny, I mean, his one turf race was good. And I think he'll be forwardly placed. And at some point, we'll get a run started. And I'm hoping that they're 1-2 somewhere around the 16th pole. And either one I'll take. How's that?
That's fine, in fact, because certainly Charlie's Penny, speaking of dangerous entities, Chris Block, 3-for-8 at the meet, picking his spots very carefully.
Yep. Yep, and he spent a lot of time down here, and his horses are running very well.
Good for him. This, of course, for Bob Lothenback, a homebred of theirs. Let's talk about the allowance, and we're going to assume that Tappet's Conquest, that 9th race going a mile and a 1/16, this more or less a Risen Star audition for horses that were basically going to lay off the LeCompte. And, I mean, Vanishing is what, 3-5 in here?
He's going to be tough. Yes. Yeah. You know, he came back and worked good, very easy. After that, looks good, has drawn well, obviously reaches out for Tyler to take the reins, and it's going to be tough. But I tell you, Invulnerable for Joe Sharp, he has worked really good his last two works here.
Hmm.
Both impressive. I'm curious to see how this race unfolds. I mean, if they're going to decide to go and if they let him go, he could be formidable, or Banishing and him hook up together. Cyberknife's little brother is not without talent. He's got a lot of the antics that Cyberknife had last year in him. You can just see he's kind of quirky and a little bit rank when he breaks off to start his gallops and his works, but there's definitely talent there. And he's been working with Tawny Port and Instant Coffee and you know, holding his own. So he'll probably take another forward move. Last time he ran here, he was all over the track, in and out. He shied from some birds on the infield. When he ran past them, they kind of took off and it spooked him. But he'll just keep getting better. Brad's team will keep working with him. So, you know, if they all hook up, if the two speeds hook up, maybe something different can happen here. But I agree with you. That last effort by Vanishing was impressive. Took heat and did it well.
Well, and the Cyberknife Sib is, because of the confusion of all the Tappet names, this is Tappet Shoes. Spendthrift and Steve Landers, the car dealer, and this is the awesome flower three-year-old, and a May foal. And in fact, let me look at the, out of curiosity, let me look on the sheet, May 17th, not just a late foal, but a mid-May. So this one is spotting plenty of experience and maturity to the rest of this field, although Silver Heist is also a May foal down on the rail. May 15th, Silver Heist, the first out winner for Asmussen, and Mandy Pope, whose operation the train is finally starting to really pull out of the station for Mandy Pope.
What a tough problem for Cox to have so many horses with the word Tappet in their names that you get confused, right?
Well, almost as much, almost as difficult as it is for Steve Asmussen, for Tappets and Gun Runners, and God knows what else Ron Winchell will you know have soon enough. Let's
speaking of which, Disarm worked this morning, easy half and 52 and change, and he's waiting in the wings for whoever. Whoever emerges tomorrow, moving forward
for Risen Star,
I would think so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very cool. All right, let's work backwards on the maiden races, and if there's any names that you think people need to know, especially if they're slightly under the radar. Frank McGowey with us. We got about seven more minutes. The 10th race, mile and a 16th, and everybody except Kauai Dan has started, and that's a quality road for, speaking of Asmussen, a Stone Street homebred out of the very nice Kauai Katie.
Yeah, I haven't seen a lot of his works because I'm here on race days. I help him out on race days when the jocks here. They have more workers that day. And Steve and Amos are two guys that work a lot of their horses on Mondays and Tuesdays. Every now and then I'll come out on purpose on a Monday or Tuesday just so I can try to catch up with them. You know, from what I've seen, he's been fine. I haven't seen enough, but, you know, I don't want to talk anybody off of him, but I haven't seen enough to make me think that, you know, he's somebody I should lean on. I wouldn't let him beat me, but I just haven't seen a whole bunch of him. And in this field, I really don't have a tremendous opinion about anybody. I think there's some that could move forward. Onassa did catch my eye, and I did note, Steve, that he's running without Lasix. So, you know, maybe this is one that they're thinking could eventually maybe get on the Derby trail for them. Hmm. And they're keeping him off. He worked really good the same day as Two Fills. That January 14th work was good with Loveberry.
Well, I know it's not a big number, but I'll give you, and you're going to have to deal with an entry element. But Fightin' Ready for Dallas Stewart, the More Than Ready colt. Maybe this one ends up on the turf long term, but that last race and some Sib strength says Fightin' Ready, I think, is dangerous. 9-2.
Yeah, she get a cozy trip. You know, last time that was a Stidham horse that made a fairly easy lead and led him around there. He stayed on well for second. I can't knock him. There's a bunch I can't knock in here. I don't have a strong opinion in this race. Nobody stood out in the mornings. I would just think you're going to get the normal progression of young horses. Some of them stretching out. Some of them, you know, going two turns for the second time and just, you know, use your best judgment here.
Well, the 7th, this is 6 furlongs for the boys. A lot more firsters in here, just getting going. There's some fancy breeding in this group as well. Steve Asmussen, very heavily represented with First Offender for Three Chimneys, the Quality Road out of Love and Pride, and then City Knights, too. This is a Hertrick Fielding. City of Light, $400,000 purchase for Don Adam. Neil's got Lothenbach in here.
I've got check marks on both of those. Yep. Both of Steve's are doing very good. They've worked together a couple of times. First Defender was working with Echo again earlier in the meet, too. First Defender, I'll give a little edge to. Back on December 16th, his gate work, he worked with Topsy. who was a Philly of Asmussen's, and he got the best of Topsy that day. Topsy debuted a winner here a couple of weeks ago. And so with the inside post, I'd give a slight edge to him over the other Asmussen. And then, you know, Phil Bauer could have a big day. Phil Bauer showed up here. He hadn't been here the whole meet, but he brought a handful in maybe about 3 weeks ago. And they've all looked good. And this Kigali looks like he'll take another step forward. He's looked good in the mornings, worked with Minute Wells back on January 6th, who's a solid allowance horse, and then came back in a gate set that he had and was well within himself, just like a little tune-up last week for this. So he's looked good, too. So those would be my top three. With, I think it goes to Rasmussen, though. I think both of his are okay.
I like it. And Phil Bauer, of course, has really stepped forward with Mr. Rigney. All right, keep working back through this thick group of maidens. These are fillies going long on the dirt. And the sixth race.
I'm going to get cute here. We mentioned how good a meet Michelle was having. One of the reasons I think it was I thought she was going so good is how well Spartan Queen ran the first time at astronomical odds against Amber Cascade. Was really made a nice sustained wide run against the flow of the race that day. Amber Cascade, I don't know if you remember, was kind of tucked inside. You had a really nice inside trip off of two speed horses. And she kept running and ran on well. But I'm going to take a shot at an upsetter in here and lean towards the inside. Another guy we mentioned having a big meet, Chris Block. Loveberry sticks with this one, and Blinkers come off, drew well. And I think there's definitely more to this horse than that first race at Colonial showed. It's been working pretty good, and maybe at a price. You know, you had the Cox horse that threw the rider last time. Maybe at a price I can shake some things up here with Chris Block.
Well, I'm obliged every time Dr. Politi's Grapes for Eloise runs. I got to mention her because
she ran very well.
Yeah,
the other day.
They've had expectations for her. I'll give you a horse, second time starter that I'm absolutely using. Ray Lou Gutierrez gets aboard. Madly Dancing for John Ortiz, and I'm real interested in that Curlin, $525,000 filly. At Keeneland September.
Take a look at anything that Ray Lou's on down here. He's riding fantastic. I would have him maybe a little bit underneath, but
yeah,
not
that's
far
fine.
Off. I put the race 1-4 over 5-9.
Very good. 1-4. Hold on. Let me jot 1-4 with the little 5-9. Very good. The fourth. Here we go. These are fillies going short. There's something for everybody, and we've got mostly firsters here, so through the binoculars will help.
Yeah, this is a solid group. So of the ones that have run, Amos's horse is doing well. My aunt Stucky has come back with a couple of solid works since that last race, and the first two races were both good. The first time starters, there are quite a few that have caught my eye in here. We can just take them into post position order. Merlaza has been working with Arden's Quest, who is the Cox first time starter in the second race. Both of them seem okay. LJ's Emma for Keneally really had a fast work from the pole back on December 29th, and then came back with a good gate work, and Saez jumps on here. He's an Into Mischief who's looked good. And the aforementioned Phil Bauer, another one, Mariah's Appeal has caught the eye. This is one that the Sean Parker has been working, and since he brought this group in town, this one's looked good on both his works here. And then here's Raylu again, another Ortiz horse. Unsung Melody had two solid works here, one with Hunter John, who ran the tired fourth in an allowance race earlier this week, and then came back with another good work and was the best of a filly named Boss Lady Bailey earlier. So those would be the four in here that I'd be looking at.
All right. That Curlin Serenade on the outside.
So that's another one that I've asked you. Haven't seen enough to tell you no,
sure.
And haven't seen enough to tell you yes. How's that?
Fair enough. Fair enough.
This one's actually been working with the Kawi Katie horse. They were both unnamed until recently, both Stone Streets. But I just haven't seen enough of them to tell you anything.
Frank, we've done 11 out of the 14. The first, second, and third. Anything that we have to know about?
Nothing in the first. Asmussen's and Cox both look pretty good. I'll tell you what, I'll give you another level horse as somebody to keep an eye on. Destin Erase, she's getting this horse from McPeak. You know, she's kind of starting over, cutting him back. He's had a look about him in the mornings and it's going to get a nice trip. If they go quick, that horse will come running at a price. So I wouldn't leave him out of exactas. But Asmussen's horses look really sharp in his last gate work. I'm sure he's going to take some money. You don't pay that much for them if they can't run a little bit.
Well, Evergrande is who we're mentioning. This is the $1.1 million Uncle Mo, and out of the Forestry Mare, Nikki's choice for Don Adam. And yeah, Bullet.
Good looker.
You don't see too many Asmussen Bullets ever.
You know, you really don't out of the gate. But this was well within himself. Looked good doing it.
Finally, the third, Long on the Main for the boys, three-year-olds.
You know, I like, I'm going hometown here. I like Al. Go all the way to the outside box, as McGee would say. What? Where the air is clean or something like that?
The open air outside box where the air is fresh and clear.
Right. I really think this horse will appreciate stretching out the extra distance. And had a really good work. Back on January 8th, it was 48-4, but finished up really good. And just think there's not a tremendous amount of speed. Corey's going to be able to get an outside, you know, stalking spot. And when they ask this horse to give him some extra distance, I think you'll get it from him.
Outstanding.
I'm looking forward to a big race out of him.
Very nice. And Al's not going to get shut out on the
He usually
on the big
does
card.
Good on this day. Yes, he does.
Right. And, of course, after this, the next important thing will be, you know, what Tom and Colleen Amos wear on Fat Tuesday. That'll be the next.
Unfortunately, I've got a wedding I got to be at tomorrow evening. I'm not going to be wedding starts at the same time as the listed post for the stake race, for the final race. I got to hope that I don't pull one of those mayhem moments like in the Allstate commercial where the guy's watching his phone and destroys the wedding.
Oh, my God. Frank, this was fabulous. I appreciate it. Everybody does. And we will see you before we talk next, at least on the air.
Absolutely. All right, Vic, thanks for what you do. Keep it up.
Thank you, buddy. Frank McCoy, everybody, and right from the dining room, which is where they clock, and that puts us on the lead, doesn't it, for Fairgrounds? All right, let's go. We're 3 minutes late getting to Cali, and, you know, I don't want to rush. I do not want to rush her because, you know, as it is, you have to keep a 9-to-5 hold on Callie Francois. Good morning.
Hi, how are you doing? It's been a while.
Well, I'm waiting for the next big Laurel opportunity, and here it is.
Which is tomorrow, yeah. I mean, we've got some decent racing going on today, or for Friday, but as we're recording this. But, yeah, tomorrow, race 4 starts with, race 3. Start action starts in race 3 in the extra heat. Excuse me, as I keep scrolling, here we go. You know, I kind of go for the obvious in this one.
Yeah.
So this is, here's the thing about this race, is that this race, you have a bunch of fillies who are known to go to lead. Bunch of all and out speed, right? So how do you differentiate of who's really got, this is where grit happens. So this is where we're going to find out who's able to handle pressure, who's not going to be able to handle pressure. And that chickiness with the blinkers on for Jamie Ness, obviously, is a pretty decent go-to because she's on the rail. She's going to be dealing with a lot more, but I have her in second, and I have her in second to L Street Lady. And this is why, even though L Street Lady back in early December went to the lead, didn't look back, right? But the time prior to that,
right,
she's coming off of a little bit off the pace,
mm-hmm,
in a turf event. So turf event, a lot of there, you know, there were 10 fillies, at least 10 other fillies in that race first time out. That's a lot of exposure, albeit she had the outside post, but still a lot of exposure, a lot of traffic to go through. That was a great experience for her. So that's really what kind of caught my eye with L Street Lady. Just, you know, other than the fact that, sure, you win by 7 lengths in the maiden special weight, that's fine, but let's see who can handle what. So L Street Lady, shakiness, of course, the Cal Lynch filly. You can't count on a Cal Lynch because this is his forte of getting these first, second, third time starters a win and a couple of wins into the notch, possibly getting, you know, he gets a lot of these fillies that I think are just at owners who are trying to get, you know, fillies and black in a black type situation. So this is exactly what Cal Lynch sets him up to do.
There's just a couple of notes. I mean, it's six horse field, so it shouldn't be as complex as it might be.
But it is.
I know. It's strange. One thing that's notable, Jamie Ness puts the blinkers on Cheekiness off the win. And
right.
I guess off of the way she wired, just like the way she went, because that was 5.5, and it was with some moisture on the track. I thought that if you're looking elsewhere, Brittany Russell with
Grace and Charm.
Well, and Grace and Charm. What's nice about Grace and Charm is it looks like she's stepping forward. Took her 4 tries to break her maiden, but she, you know, kind of took steps forward in November and then again January 1st. So I
right.
Right?
She did it the hard way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Let's go.
No, I have Grace and Charm underneath as well. So, okay, where are we going to next, Steve?
Just do it in order. The Jennings.
All right. Let's talk about the Jennings. Okay, so I do go with Our Nation on Parade. It's a bit of that type. We're going back to, actually, no, are we staying the two turns? We're going back to the one turn here, and I think this is where Our Nation on Parade really is going to enjoy being in that type of situation, because I go with the Richard Small and the Maryland Million Classic. I always think, especially here at Laurel Park, the mile and an eighth transfers really, really well to the one turn mile here with the extended real estate after the wire. Just because of the way it sets up, it just, even though it's a mile, it seems longer than that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with the added distance, you know, you go back, you know, you put back further along the front side when you break out of the gate. It's a similar type of setup. So I go for Our Nation on Parade, possibly just going for the lead and running with it. But Ain't De Beer Cold is a really, if you want to take a chance at a horse of a little bit more of a price, a little bit more, not much value, 5-2, but if you want to take a stab at that, that's a pretty decent box, exacta box to go for. I do put the Ed Merriman Exculpatory mm-hmm. underneath. So interesting horse, kind of coming into his own. If Karamanos can channel that, because I mean, you know, you go to the ACK when Mark Reed had this one, and that was I kind of see the effort a little bit, but that was just a bit much. It was all that shipping, it was the one turn mile, it was a grade 3, just too much for him. So this is where we get into a little bit better transition from the going from short to long yet again. So of course, Ed's stats, you don't have much to go off for stats, but the Dam Slayer Broken Vow, 17% second time routing.
I Exculpatory seems like he's getting back to his good races, and
right.
He's now a mature 5-year-old. He's a mine shaft, which lends itself to you know, that kind of slow burn development. And another step forward makes him competitive. I completely agree. 10-1 is the fun price. I suppose plot the dots. You know, these Norm Cash horses, they're like a rash all over the Northeast. So
you
just don't know. You know, they kind of.
I did the same
in
thing.
And out
I
of,
threw him in there,
right?
Because why not?
Yeah.
Yep.
How about the Geisha? We're going the mile
Geisha,
for the girls.
Right. Of course, I've got. I mean, here's the thing about Malibu Beauty is that the way Gary Capuano gave this filly a little bit of time off and set her up really well for success in the carousel. He did two before the carousel. He did two very, very long works that December 17th and December 9th. Works those mile works, just kind of, you know, they're not works but 2 minute like essentially, but just getting that really good base on them. And then we got this nice work on January 12th going the 5 furlongs to really just kind of tighten the notches on everything. Of course, you have Gary Capuano, who's 6-22 lately, second after the layoff. So 27% lately for Gary Cap, second after the layoff. And once he gets this filly in good form, she tends to stay that way. So we're seeing the old Malibu Beauty, of course. Intrepid Dream is going to, if you know, you got to just go for the, just going to be tracking the other cap runner. Intrepid Dream is going to be just tracking Malibu Beauty. So again, you have this similar type of work set up for this filly to kind of really long, you know, going long off of a layoff is what Gary Capuano really, really does very, very well. So it's hard to go against those. But then underneath, 6-1 award wanted for Jerry Robb, because that horse, I remember, so I know the breeder, and this one, I was so shocked that this one won at 5.5, because he's just this big Clydesdale type of a thoroughbred. Like, he's huge. So I feel like stretching him out, you got him in the right direction, winning off of that little bit of a layoff, and now stretch it out, which is actually, on a physicality standpoint, what this horse is meant to do.
Let's talk about the Fireplug. I said at the top of the show, Callie, that this is one of the best races of the day anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Anywhere, yeah. Factor, so who do I have on top? I think I have Factored In on top, because what Carlos Mancia has done with this horse, it's been in a really exciting ride. But talking to Michael Sheffries, back before the Chaladin, he had a bit of a shin issue. Then they gave him a couple weeks off. They came back, and this horse has just been delivering tenfold. So look what happens when you give these little bit of older horses a little bit of break when they need it. They just come back in spades. And this is exactly what Factored In. I think Factored In is just on a roll, whether he goes to the lead, whether he comes off the pace. This is a horse that understands, knows, and loves his job, where you can really put him anywhere.
Fun group, and there's really no
I know
no it's, combination
exactly.
Yeah, there's no combination of four that would be a total surprise. I mean, a couple of horses would have to step forward. You know, Jerry Robb with that Al Loves Josie, 12-1 with
X-Man. Let me tell you
X-Man.
About Al Loves Josie. Loves Josie is a chestnut gelding. I've been on him a couple times in the morning. He's a very sensitive dude. Things have to go his way. Now, saying that, last time out, he did not get his way, and he still ran very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
So, however, we get to this similar type of distance of 6.5. So it's going to be really interesting to see if this horse is going to be set off of the pace just like last time, or if this horse is going to be rushed to the lead. Because if I feel like with this horse, if you rush him to the lead and if he doesn't get it, that's when he folds. They took a different approach. Exactly. So if he gets, like, and if it's so just his personality, and then it just shows it on his form. You can see it plain as day. As soon as he starts getting some challenge, when he gets on the lead, he drops anchor. He's like, okay. But like I said, we took a different approach last time. They took a different approach last time out, and that seemed to benefit. So it's, like I said, it's going to be super curious to see what they do. I didn't, because there's a ton of nice horses in here, I didn't put him in my top four, but I was fighting back and forth. But 12-1,
yeah,
that's a nice stab of why not go for it.
No, that's a nice, no, he, you're absolutely right. You can see it, that he gets a little faint-hearted. But that effort in the City of Laurel, encouraging.
Made you hope, right?
Here's the What a Summer, and this will go as the seventh, three quarters for the fillies and mares.
This is where I'm going to give, I'm still going to stick with Fee de Spree. I'm going to give her, she's been on such a streak, and then it just, sometimes horses just don't have their day, and that's exactly the excuse that I'm giving her. So I just think I'm giving her a bit of a faith shot, rather than Swaying To and Fro, although Swaying To and Fro is just completely on a roll with Mario Saray. So I'm not saying I'm waiting for the shoe to drop, but I wouldn't be surprised either way. I'm going to go ahead. 8-5 to me is a bit short, so, which is especially why I'm going to go with Fee de Spree anyway. But then, of course, I also include Don't Let Sweet Foolia.
Our friends.
Off of the layoff, coming back on the dirt. So we'll see what happens, because if you go back to March, off a little bit of a layoff. 13 to March, she comes back, nice performance, but then she gets into Parks. And whether she wasn't a fan of Parks or whether other things had, or it's because she's not great second off of the layoff, that has yet to be seen. So I'm going to go ahead and give her a little bit of a faith stab as well, because she did duel. She did try. There was no beating swaying to and fro. This is a filly that is a need bit, could be a bit of the need the lead type. She got me really excited in late October in that allowance one, the way she did it. So again, interesting setup, small field, but it sets up very interestingly.
Finally, the spectacular bid, 7/8 for the boys.
Of course. Okay, so Prince of Jericho, you can't argue against him. Coffee with Chris,
yep,
in the heft. Super curious, just because he didn't have a Prince of Jericho to deal with. So I'm putting him as a horse that's going to be in the fold of it. I have him underneath, but he's really got to step it up a little bit today. So those are my top two. Of course, Heldish is going to be super interesting coming now from the Mike Maker barn after buying him in the Fazek Tipton, Maryland, the Timonium sale. So, but again, this horse, a bit of a need the lead type. He's got the rail position. I don't know how he's going to be dealing with that. So my horse that I'm interested in that I have underneath at a bit of a price is the 5 B West for Jerry Robb, Xavier Perez. This is the first off of the claim. This horse got the attention right away from Hugh McMahon when he really got super game that second time out going 7 furlongs. He runs again. Mike Trombetta claims him. He runs again. Jerry Robb claims him. And he puts him in a, I think this horse is a really, this is a potentially really nice horse. So that's going to be interesting. That's the price that I have underneath is B West 5.
I got him, and I don't argue at all. And of course, a horse that started out of the Joe Besseker team. But on the outside, Callie, 12-1, we don't need Rhodes. And this is a horse that Anthony Pecoraro was trying to get on the grass, kept getting rained off, broke the maiden second time out at Delaware, kept catching, mm-hmm. The off the turn. Then he finally enters him in November on the dirt. And he wins, not only wins, but he, from a fig standpoint, takes a big step forward. Now he's in the barn of Mark Salvaggio, and not that Pecoraro doesn't win with alacrity, but Salvaggio wins every time I look up.
Right.
So I'm a little, that we don't need Rhodes at a number. 12-1 seems a little interesting, and he gets that outside stalking trip going the 7/8.
You're interesting too about him is that as of lately, 36% stretching horses out, 5 for 14 as of late, 7 for 14, 50% of the money as of lately from route to sprint, shortening them up. My only thing is that when he ships to Laurel, it's nothing. His horses are still performing. He's only, as of lately, only hitting 10% at Laurel in the last 20 starts. He's 2 for 20 as of lately. However, 5/1, 5/3. So while they're not winning at Laurel, they're still getting home a little bit of a paycheck. So 7 for 20 in the money lately at Laurel. That's my only tick I have. However, I do like a lot of other things about him. I'm looking at the mare, what she produced, of course, Sweet Gracie is a half sibling as well, who has been a little bit all over as far as where this, or this one is gone. Take a look at the dam real quick. And she's a sprinter. So that's my only, I'm fine with it. I do commend Mark Salvaggio with the Joe. He does a wonderful job. Sometimes though, he just doesn't have the best luck in Maryland.
Well, it's a fun card. Fireplug feels like the most open race, but stakes start with the fact the pick six is almost all stakes, starting with the Jennings, late pick five as well, and pick four. Lots to look forward to tomorrow at Laurel. How's your weather tomorrow?
I was looking pretty good. I mean, honestly, I haven't even thought about it too much. I think we're pretty good. And we've got we had plenty of rain here yesterday, and the track dried out pretty nicely. So we got a fast track today despite some rain action yesterday.
Excellent. Well, Callie, here we go. 2023, let's make it as good or better as last year. And we will talk soon. Winter Carnival at Laurel. Do you have something wintry to wear tomorrow? Is there?
Of course I do.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
We'll be watching and playing along. Callie, Francois, everybody, and the action from Laurel. Miss Francois, to you. We'll take the top of the hour break. Come back for hour two. Thanks to Callie and Frank McGooey. Marcus Hirsch, Hammer, and Scully in hour two. Nick Tamaro, Scott Shapiro, and Popo in hour three. Weekend preview at the races, brought to you by Twin Spires. We've also got, don't we have a Derby Future? Isn't, right? Am I forgetting that? Derby Future Wager. I didn't see a headline, but I am almost positive it was, yeah. Starts, yeah, here we go. All right, so we'll get some opinions from Scully and Shap on the future wager. I didn't get to Marty, usually covers it, but here, you know what I'll do? I'll send out the, it says potential. It's not a security risk, the Derby Future PPs. Come on with that. Ridiculous. We'll get that out as well. What else? Colonel Liam retired. Yeah, that news popped yesterday afternoon. Slip that in. And is going to, where's he going? Ocala Stud, I think, right? Ocala Stud. So he's not going to get a chance to defend his Pegasus turf win. Yeah, those are the big, yeah, that's the big. I'm telling you, it's been the quietest, it's been the most sedate January in racing history than just placid as can be, knock on wood. Let's take the break. Marcus Hirsch joins us next at the races. Twin Spires weekend preview. SiriusXM.
It's at the races with Steve Beck on SiriusXM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And